What does it mean to press on, to persevere in the race laid out before us, to endure through testing and trials, to hold on to the promise of God, and to press on in our prayer? I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's the text from Philippians. I want to also read a text from James that has also been a part of this Pressing On series, verses 2 through 4, which says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." This is the word of the Lord, and if you believe it and want to live it, you can say thanks be to God. Amen. Well, this is the final message in our Pressing On series, in which you've heard numerous scriptures, including the ones just read in the video from Philippians as well as from James, about pressing on in the Christian life. And as is usually the case, I have lots of kind of extra material from the message series, and we often put that into a final message in the series. And this is actually a tradition we've kind of done through most of the series through the years. So it started way back when, 10, 11 years ago, when we had Hosea holdovers from our Hosea message. And then we did healing holdovers, we had hospitality holdovers. We're going to be doing Habakkuk here in pretty soon, so we'll probably have some Habakkuk holdovers. We had Exodus extras, Samuel supplements, Corinthian cuts, Acts additions. And so sticking with this alliterative tradition for this genre of messages, we are calling this, any guesses? I had to work pretty hard on this one. Pressing on pieces. Ooh, that would have been pretty good. That would have been good. All right. I went with pressing on potluck. All right. Like I said, I had to work a little harder on this one. All right. Pieces might have been better. But anyways, you're welcome. So that's a playful title for what is an incredibly important and serious topic of pressing on. And this series started with our Vision Sunday, where I shared that I felt the Lord kind of lay upon my heart these words for our church for this year, to press on together. And it's so important because the Christian life is not really so much about how you start, but how you press on to the finish and allow perseverance to finish its work in maturing you. At the end of the Bible in Revelation, one of the things that Jesus highlights in speaking to the seven churches is their ability to endure and persevere. That should get our attention. So to the church in Ephesus, and if you've ever wondered, hey, what kind of church does Jesus compliment, or what does Jesus compliment when he talks to the churches? Here's the answer. To the church in Ephesus, he says, "You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary." Jesus points that out to the church. He does the same to the church in Philadelphia, not Pennsylvania. This is first century. He says, "You have kept my command to endure patiently." This is meaningful to Jesus when we press on. And so we've talked about the scriptural call to persevere and press on and endure through trials and the testing that undoubtedly will come our way. And so as we move into Holy Week, I want to wrap up and sort of summarize this series by talking about pressing on in our spiritual maturity, but also in our community and assembling together, pressing on for the next generation, and then, of course, for and with Jesus. So let's start with this pressing on in spiritual maturity. One of the biggest challenges regarding the biblical call to make disciples, meaning calling people to follow Jesus, is that we live in a culture of immediacy, right? Where we want everything to happen really fast, right? Immediate answers from Google or AI. Fast results, fast fame or success, immediate impact from our work. We want things fast, and if they don't, we quickly grow impatient and we move on to the next thing. And that can be true of our faith and our Christian life as well, and we must resist it. Canadian columnist Joanna Lafleur says, "The internet rewards speed, certainty, and hot takes. The way of Christ invites patience, humility, and careful speech." We grow frustrated when we don't see results right away, when we don't feel God's presence all the time, when a community of faith gets a little hard and doesn't turn out to be perfect and meet all of our needs within the first 6 months of being there, when our life group doesn't become best friends right away and instead is sometimes hard and relationship building is awkward. We want it all fast right away, but as we said in the opener to this series, the only road to true Christian maturity is perseverance over the course of time and testing. There is no shortcut. That's why we specifically ask everyone in this church when they are baptized and in that baptism tank before they're baptized, we say, of course, have you given your life to Jesus? But then the follow-up question to that is always, are you committed to following him no matter what? What we're asking is, are you going to endure to the end? Knowing it's not going to be easy, knowing that hardship will come, but will you press on? And the same is true of our life together as a church. We mature together over time and testing. So let's talk about pressing on in community in our assembling together. This is an important part of pressing on because I think it's where a lot of Christians are tempted to stop running the race, to exit. But you can't finish well and mature if you're not in Christian community. So we need to be continually reminded and encouraged to press on in community, which is what the scriptures do, including those texts from Revelation that we read, as well as this text from Hebrews 10, perhaps very well known to some, that says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on," meaning encourage one another to press on toward loving good deeds. How are we going to do that? Well, we got to make sure that we're not giving up meeting together, as some apparently were in the habit of doing in the first century, but encouraging one another, and especially all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. In a recent article on this verse in Christianity Today, Bonnie Christian quotes Brad East that the church is not an optional add-on. It is how we learn to be human as God intended. Indeed, it makes possible truly human life before God. In order to mature, we all need consistent relational presence. Remember, I started out this series by saying that consistency is maybe the most kind of underrated leadership quality or characteristic of effective leadership. You want to be a leader, and I hope you all do in some way, meaning just leading others as an example. If you want to be a leader, keep showing up. when the church is gathered and into the areas and ministries you're called to, because you can't care for people. You can't sense what God is doing among a community of people or lead others into maturity if we're kind of only around when it's convenient or everything is going the way we want it to in our life or in the life of the church. At its best, church is really an example of what the world should be. And a part of that is faithful presence in a world where that is really hard to find. Now, we'll never attain that vision. We will always fall short, but it's good to press on toward it together, to aspire to that vision of faithful presence. So fittingly today, we actually get to recognize some people who are making that commitment to faithful presence and commitment to the local expression of God's kingdom through the church. So our new official members of the church, and I'm going to call them up, those who are here in the 9 a.m., to the platform, but we have Brent Kellos and Sharon Kellos, Marie Saduko, Dave and Shirley Perry, Dean Andres, and Chantel and Benjamin Nickel. And in fact, I think we have quite a bit of them in the 9 a.m. here. So they're going to come on up real quick. Don't worry, we won't keep you long. You don't have to finish the message just because you come up or anything. Yeah, come on up if you can, if that works. All right. Here we go. Yeah, we've got almost all of them here in the 9 a.m. 9 a.m. is a happening place. Happening place. So these are our newest members. And so we have just a few questions for them, but you know, Scripture, as we were just talking about, instructs us to not forsake meeting together. It's Hebrews 10:25. To pray for the Lord's people, Ephesians 6:18, and to support God's church in abundant generosity through our tithes and offerings, Malachi 3:10 and 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. So, do you commit, with God's help and grace and power, to these essentials of regularly gathering, praying, and giving in God's holy church? If so, say, we do. We do. Amen. And do you commit yourselves to living out your calling with those God has called together at Oceanside Community Church and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit? We do. Well, may God give you the grace to fulfill these commitments. Let's give our new members a hand. Thank you, guys. There you go. See, I told you that wouldn't be too scary. Now, we actually didn't do an official membership push this year or announcement, and so if you're wondering what is that even about, church membership, we explain that normally on an annual basis. These are just people who kind of proactively went through it or some transferred in, and so if you want to be a member, you can go through that next year. But living in community together is a beautiful thing as we join together for something that is bigger than ourselves, and that's what these new members are committing to. And part of the reason we do that, we make these commitments, is to press on, our third point, for the next generation. Part of our commitment to press on in faithful presence, as well as faithful serving and giving and praying in the church, should be inspired by a passion for the next generation of disciples. And we're seeing such fruit in these areas as a church as we're pressing on in faith. In faith, we hired new pastors to oversee our preteens and our young adults. And in just a short time, we're seeing more people than ever being reached in these age demographics, more young adults than we've ever had. And they're forming relationships and encouraging one another in faith. And it just excites me so much to see it. And we're sending high school students on a service and mission trip to Montreal. This is, you know, really life-changing stuff for the next generation. Students are being mentored and earnestly seeking the call of God on their life. We just had youth come back from a Youth Alpha conference out of province that they went to. We had young adults on the mainland for a young adult gathering where I heard stories that they were reading their Bibles together in the van and asking questions, and they're becoming disciples. And in a day and age where young people are, you know, incredibly lonely and spend much of their time in digital spaces, offering real community like this has never been more important. But more than even the next generation, of course, the number one motivation and the only thing that will actually sustain us to press on is, of course, doing it for, and I would say also with, Jesus. To use some deeper theological language, I would say that Jesus is the ultimate presser-onner. You can quote me on that. It's deep stuff. The call to press on must be centered on Jesus, or else we will lose our way. We will turn inward on ourselves, we will put our own needs first, and we will likely succumb to self-pity, despair, and a critical spirit if we don't follow Jesus' example. But when Jesus is who we're pressing on for and with, it makes all the difference because he's different, as we'll discuss on Easter. There's no better time of year to remember Jesus as the great presser-onner than this week, what we call Holy Week, leading up to Easter. Jesus knew what awaited him: crucifixion on the cross. In Luke 13, it says, verse 31, at that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and they said to him, "Leave this place, quit pressing on, go somewhere else." They said, "Herod wants to kill you." I'd be like, "All right, I'm out of here." But it says in verse 33, Jesus said, "I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." See, Jesus had an end goal in mind. He knew what he was called to, something that wasn't about himself or his own goals or dreams, and therefore he pressed on toward it. Jesus pressed on in his spiritual maturity. The Bible says he continually grew in wisdom. He pressed on in community. We know he weekly went to synagogue. He gathered regularly with his disciples, who were about as difficult and frustrating and as immature as they could be. And yet he kept gathering with them. He pressed on for the sake of the next generation after him. And you know where or what pressing on got him? Celebrity status? No. His own preaching show? No. Book deal? No. More followers on TikTok? Negative. Pressing on in obedience landed him on the cross. And while he went to the cross, the disciples would all betray him. All the people that shouted Hosanna on Palm Sunday, the text we read earlier, were either silent or perhaps even yelling, "Crucify him," by Good Friday. The commitment to press on in our faith in community and for the future generation is not based on how well we're treated. It's not a contract where we say, "I will press on if, you know, no one lets me down or makes any mistakes." No, it's a covenant before God saying, "Jesus, you pressed on for me, and so I will press on for you, no matter what happens." You might just want to pray that under your breath. Just saying, "Jesus, I will not give up on you or your church. I will press on. Help me, Lord, to press on." know, when we started this year, this theme of pressing on, I could never have known it would end up being really three of the hardest months I've had in my 11 years here. We've had a number of transitions. We started three new staff and just lots of stuff that has happened. And I'll be honest, in my very weak moments, which I have, I just maybe want to give up, to stop pressing on, to be like, let somebody else deal with all this. But as a follower of Jesus, my pressing on isn't based on circumstance. It's based on an unwavering commitment to follow Jesus and be a part of his church. And any other motivation, and I would probably throw in the towel. But knowing Jesus is different makes all the difference. So friends, look, I don't want your faith to be in me or in this church, because both will let you down. Probably lead you to eventual disillusionment if you let it, because we're human beings, right? One thing we're very intentional about here at the church is what is featured and what is central in our worship, and it's namely the cross, the Word of God, and this altar communion table. These are the symbols of our faith and the only things that will never let you down. There's a reason, it's purposeful, that there's not a screen in the center behind me, big wide screen. There's not some fancy smoke machine in the front here, right? The center spaces are reserved for things that will endure to the end, that will last forever, and that is the Word of God, the cross of Jesus, and this beautiful table of grace and forgiveness that represents the eventual feast that we will have with Jesus for all eternity. These things will never let you down, and that's why my job is to hopefully point you toward them and to experience them as much as possible. So will you press on with me in growing together in our spiritual maturity and community based on these things, in gathering regularly to hear the word, to sing about the cross, and to gather around this table together on a regular basis? Is it going to be messy and hard sometimes? Sure. But is it a beautiful mess? I think so. And there's nothing else I'd rather give my life to. So let's take a moment and just respond to the Holy Spirit in a quiet way. I know pancakes are awaiting us, but if you would just close your eyes as the music team comes just to play. And we're not going to sing another song, but we are going to just respond in a moment of quiet reflection. And I'm just asking you to open up your heart and ask the Lord, what's one thing, Lord, that you're asking me to do? Holy Spirit, what's one thing? What's one area you're asking me to press on in? Maybe it's in your own faith and pressing on. Maybe it's pressing on and into Christian community. Maybe it's giving more or investing in the next generation more. Maybe you've lost your focus a bit. Maybe you've let the trials and hardships really slow you down and distract you. But today you can recommit yourself to press on for others the way Jesus did. To see your trials as opportunities for perseverance and growth and maturity. Maybe it's to make a commitment to press on in long-term discipleship, saying, Lord, I will choose the hard road even when others choose the easy road, the way of the cross over the way of convenience. So as you're waiting to allow the Spirit to speak, this is Fred. Fred feels like the Lord has laid something on his heart to share here.
We're supposed to deny ourselves the things of the world. pick up your cross and follow Christ Jesus. Walk in the way, truth, and the life, according to John chapter 14, 1-6. And keep on going forward. Don't look back. Don't fall back. Keep going forward. We ask this all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Fred. We will keep pressing on with you and with each other. We all need each other. Let's give the Holy Spirit just another moment to speak to us. Could be that God's Spirit leads you to rearrange your days a bit in order to press on in spiritual maturity. Maybe the Spirit may show you how you can press on in community and commit to God's church as a part of your discipleship. Maybe take a step of faith and join a life group, or just asking God, Lord, where do you want me to be a faithful presence? I find in my experience the Holy Spirit doesn't overwhelm us with a huge to-do list, but often just gives us one thing at a time. And so if the Spirit is speaking and just revealing a next step, just resolve in your heart with God's help to do it. Say, Lord, help me to press on toward what you've called me to do. Help me to be a faithful presence in this world for you. So, Lord, would you seal in our hearts what you're calling us to do? Help us to respond to your word, to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful community that you have called into place, Lord. We know that we are far from perfect of what you called us to do. But, Lord, would you help us to press on together toward the vision of what you have for your church? In Jesus' name, amen.